listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
If you would take your Bibles, I'm going to have you quickly turn there with me this morning, and we're going to consider the Word of God and what God has for us today. In particular, I want you to turn to John's Gospel, chapter 5. John's Gospel, chapter 5, and we're going to look at six words this morning in the sixth verse. And I'm going to read to you out of the English Standard Version. Jesus asked this question. And you're going to find that it's going to be a question that I'm going to propose to you this morning. But the question that Jesus asked was this: do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? Whether you're in the midst of a difficult marriage, or you're in the middle of some kind of relational struggle, or just feeling the weight of our sin-worn world, nothing in your life, hear me now, nothing in your life is going to change until you want to change the way you think. See, that's where we get stuck a lot of times as believers. You have to care enough to hope for something better in your life. The bottom line is this: do you want what God has for you? My message to you this morning is this: when it's hard to hope. We'll talk about that. John chapter 5 opens up quite a story for us. And I want you to recall some of the things that are germane to that story. Remember the guy who waited 38 years by the pool of Bethesda. 38 years. I want you to think about 38 years here for a minute. How many are 40 years and under? So, a bunch of you are. How many remember what you did 40 years ago? Today, 40 years ago today. You can't. Unless you have some kind of cheat sheet, and it tells you what you did 40 years ago today. The point behind what I'm saying is 40 years is a long time. 38 years, that's nearly four decades. This guy waited 38 years by the pool of Bethesda until Jesus shows up. And Jesus heals him. Think about it. John chapter 5 explains how the angel of the Lord would come, stir up the pool, and whoever got into the water first would get healed. And that was pretty cool, if you were the first guy in the water. But if you weren't in the water the first guy, that wasn't so cool, because you're still sick. You still had your malady. Imagine how often the water churned only for this guy's healing to escape him. Walk it out with me. Think back what he must have been like. It must have been like for him. The first 5 years, he's laying by the pool. 5 years. and still no healing. What do you think he was thinking at year 10? Think about it. That's a whole decade. Some of you were teenagers 10 years ago. But my point is, 10 years is a long time. By year 20 and by year 35, had he resigned himself to permanently camping out and saying, I'm just going to beg by the side of this pool? Had it come down to that? Saying, this is my life and this is how it's going to go. Now I want to ask you, does that sound familiar to you? Maybe you're thinking in your own mind, the biggest thing that you're battling is simply the fact that you still think the way you have always thought. There's no hope. It's just no hope. All these years. Let me ask, what gets lost here in a situation like this is the ability to believe and hope and trust God for a better day. And when you stop hoping, here's what happens. You stop caring. Do you remember what Jesus said to the man by the pool? Jesus knew that he was there for a long time. That's a no-brainer. And Jesus knew that he needed to be healed. That, too, is a no-brainer. But Jesus comes up to the guy and he asks him, do you want to be healed? And that would sound like a rather obvious question from the God of the universe. But Jesus was after something. Jesus clearly was trying to get into his mind or into his heart and find out what he was thinking. What was this guy's thought processes? Now after 38 years, was he still hoping that he could get healed? Or at this point, had the man lost all hope? There's a scene in the popular series, The Chosen, that depicts this story. The scene unfolds this way. Jesus is intentional and strategic. If you remember the episode, Jesus makes a point of leaving his disciples and taking a couple with him, and they had a mission, and they're going to the pool of Bethsaida. That whole encounter is tied back to Simon the Zealot. Won't go into the details, but the fact remains is Jesus was on point. However, he had to ascertain in the mind of this man whether or not he wanted to be healed or not. Here's my point. Do Christians lose hope to be healed? Absolutely. Yes, we can lose hope to be healed. We stop losing hope for several reasons. And I want to walk you through some of those this morning, why it is that we can lose hope. And there are real deals in life that cast a negative blanket over our life which rob us of hope. I'm going to give you a few of those this morning. Number one, track with me. We stop hoping because hopeless people suck the hope right out from us. I want you to picture this for a moment. You get up early in the morning. You get into God's Word. You spend time in prayer. You get your mind set on Christ, and you leave your house super positive. This is going to be a good day. Nothing is going to go wrong. I've got my sights on Jesus. I'm going to make it. Then someone shows up. They say, "I'd be depressed if I were you. You must be miserable. How long have you been single? Or sick? How long you been out of work? You had some hope, but people like that drained it right out of you. Look at your own scenario. I used to swim in a swimming hole, and as a little boy, it was kind of a stagnant spot in a creek. All you had to do is dive in off the bank, and you didn't even have to churn up the water. And when you came in out of the water, you had bloodsuckers all over you. Leeches, they call them. And you're standing there picking these things off. As little kids, you know, we had these horror stories that they're going to suck all the blood out of you. You're going to die. Leeches, bloodsuckers. How many know in a spiritual sense, you can dive into the pool of life and there's a lot of negativity around you and people are going to suck out of you every ounce of hope that you've ever had. You had some hope, but they drained it. Let me say, you need to surround your life with people who have hope. Faith-based people who know how to touch God. And avoid people who suck the hope right out from you. With friends like that, who needs enemies, right? So you got to pick your battles. I want you to be a person, a believer, filled with hope today. Surround yourself with people who trust God in your life. Now, you're going to rub shoulders with people who have no hope. That's a story unto itself. Okay? And you need to be inspired to reach out to such a people, but not be affected by such a people. Am I making myself clear? Amen? So let me give you a second reason this morning why it's hard to hope. We stop hoping because it's just that way. It's difficult. It's hard to do. Let's look at some other aspects. Hope doesn't actually come naturally to us. You have to work at it. Think about it. Nobody works at negativity. It just shows up. But how many know it's a horse of a different color when it comes to hope. You've got to work at it and apply yourself. You have to discipline your mind to think differently. Now, let me give you a third. This morning, we stop hoping because, and this, I think, of all the things I'm going to say to you, this is the most impacting. We stop hoping because it hurts to hope. It hurts to hope. The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. That's found in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12. And here's how it works. When we hope, we make our hearts vulnerable to being disappointed. Inevitably, people will let us down. And that hurts. That really hurts. It's like sticking a knife or a sharp object into our physical being. Maybe you're hoping, or you were hoping, for God to do something in your life before you came here today. Say, maybe in one of your kids, but you haven't seen God's involvement to the degree that would satisfy you. Maybe you're not praying anymore, and perhaps you've even hardened your heart to the idea that God would get involved in your story. But I want you to ask yourself this question. Can you see that it hurts even more not to hope? Let me give that again. That's a question you need to ponder. Can you see that it hurts even more not to hope? And can you see what happens when you don't care anymore? That's a deplorable situation. Because that leads to not even praying anymore. Which means we're not trusting God to intervene in our case any longer. So you've got to start thinking differently. And maybe today is your day to start thinking differently. Scripture says in Romans chapter 12:12, rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. So we as Christians, we know that no matter how many peaks and valleys we go through in this life, this whole thing is heading fast forward and forever for a forever celebration. We know that. The Bible's clear that there is a hope coming yet in Christ Jesus. We know we'll see Jesus again. But between that moment and today, we need to engage. And we need to be plugged in to the fact that God desires to intervene within our life. So what's your decision this morning? Always keep in mind Jesus is the basis for hope. Jesus is your hope. I'm not your hope. Your parents aren't your hope. Your kids aren't your hope. Social Security is not your hope, and Medicare certainly isn't your hope. Jesus is your hope today. But more importantly, he's asking you this morning, Do you want to be healed today? Do you want to be healed today? Do you want what Jesus has to offer you? Laurel, come up here. Laura, she came to me earlier in the service. She said God dropped this little word in her heart. As we were pondering it, she says, she didn't know what I was going to preach on fully. She saw your notes. Then she says to me, this might apply at the end of the service. I says, that's exactly what I'm thinking, Laura.
So
share with us.
So throughout the first part of worship, I kept seeing Jesus calling Lazarus out of the tomb. And so I just kind of let it, I see like that, I kind of see movies sometimes. And so, and then we got to one of the songs that we were singing, and it talked about in his presence we are undone. And we can see that with Isaiah, you know, in Isaiah 6, he was undone. He said, I'm undone. But what I saw was grave clothes being unwound off of people's lives. I literally saw the Lord unwinding grave clothes. Now, you might think that doesn't apply to you because you're a Christian and we're not supposed to wear grave clothes. Well, I'm here to tell you, and from personal experience, that sometimes we pick them up. And the message that he's saying, and it's a message from the Lord through our pastor, that he's calling us out of that tomb. Okay? Understand this. Sometimes we get there through heavy, hidden circumstances. And we all know the world, the entire world, and the body of Christ is not immune to this, of getting hit with heavy, hidden circumstances. Some of it is intensities in our jobs. Some of it is maybe sin. You've stepped off the track. Been there, done that as a Christian. But the Lord is wanting to shine his light and his glory now upon his church. Not just this one. And this is speaking to people that are listening on the internet, on the stream. There are many listening, and there are many in this house today that have been covered with grave clothes. And the Lord has called you out, called us all out through our pastor this morning. And he's going to begin to unwind those grave clothes and to put them to the side and begin to walk in the Lord's glory. Some of us have had such a sense of hopelessness through however it got there that we are near that spiritual and emotional death. Been there. Was very close to that. And was pretty sure it was coming, but I knew what the word said. But when you get too busy in life, and we've all been intensely busy, the circumstances begin to overwhelm what the word says. If you're not consistently in the word of God, and if you're not consistently spending time with the Lord, and I can say I was doing that because I was so stinking busy. Looks good, but it ain't right. Demonstration that I believe that the Lord wants us to do today. For those that you are, grab a hold of a little bit of faith this morning. Maybe you only got a little bit, but a mustard seed is enough of faith to get you out of this and get us out of this so that the Lord can move his church into the rest of the story. And that is, I believe that there are many in this room and on the internet that wherever you are, if you can physically stand up and say, I want the grave clothes on. I want the grave clothes off. I do feel that, Lord. I feel the heaviness, and that's where, okay, I've lost that. So when you're in grave clothes, you know, and I don't know what Lazarus looked like. I'm going to go home and study what that might have looked like in those times. But grave clothes, to me, the picture that I saw, the head is wrapped. The mind is wrapped. The mind is wrapped. And he's talking about mindsets this morning, that we've had some stinking mindsets that we need to overcome this morning. And so, and then the eyes and the ears are wrapped. So spiritually, you haven't been able to hear anything anymore. Spiritually, you haven't been able to see anything anymore. You don't understand. You're blocked by these grave clothes. Spiritually, your mouth is covered with these grave clothes. You can't speak and you can't minister and you can't love on others because you can't get out of it. You're stopped with the grave clothes. And then the entire being, our hands are covered in those grave clothes where we can't touch somebody and love on them or lay hands on them or hug them. We're just bound. And our feet are bound with grave clothes. We can't take steps anymore. We're stuck. He talked about being stuck. The Lord wants us to be free this morning. That's the love that Dave was talking about. However you got there, he's still calling you out. He's still calling us out because there's more to the story. He's not done with us yet. Arise, shine, let thy light come. The glory of the Lord has risen. I've been hearing that for weeks. Come on. So, Pastor, I don't know how you want to finish this. We're prayer team, whatever. But those of you that feel like you're wearing grave clothes this morning, if you can stand up, stand up. If you can't physically, that's okay. God can always meet us where we're at. Right? Right. Amen.
Bless you. Thank you, Lauren. Laurel. That is a word. Yes, I do have a plan. All right. I want you all to stand with me. This is an opportunity, and I want our prayer team to get ready because you're going to be praying and working with people right now. And you're going to try to waddle down to the front in your grave clothes, okay? And these prayer warriors are going to unravel these grave clothes. And you're not going to waddle out of here. You're going to leap and jump, and you're going to be free in Jesus. That's the end game, all right? So here's what we're going to do. If you feel in your heart of hearts that in any one of these ways that I've shared with you, your hope has been just drained from you, you're in a bad way, this is your day. Breakthrough is coming for you today. And these guys are going to pray with you and for you to experience that breakthrough. Jesus is here. Okay? They're going to point you to Jesus. And he's going to, like the guy by the pool of Bethsaida, who had been there 38 years. This is the end of the rope for you. You're going to be healed. But you got to want to be healed. You gotta wanna experience. It's a decision you need to make. So, Fabiana, why don't you just lead us in worship? Worship team, take us into the presence of God. And I want you to come. If you must go, the service is dismissed. I want you to know that. But if you are the one, or two, or three, or six, or ten, that God wants to free up this morning, I want you to come. There's breakthrough coming for you today. Jesus is here to minister to your life. Jesus is here to help you get to that next place. God bless you. Go in the strength of the Lord. We're going to be praying for people right here. May his presence carry you through this entire week. Amen.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church weekly podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.